Hey there, thanks for joining me on this edition of Fit Friends Happy Hour. My name is Katie Hake, and I'm your host. Today, I'm talking with world traveler Sahara Rose. Sahara has spent a decade traveling to more than 84 countries. She's turned her love and knowledge of the travel industry into a new niche as a travel coach. Niche, whatever you want to say. You know what I mean. And she even started the Travel Coach Network. So she is a published author of her travel and mindset book called Hey You, Just Go, and focuses on helping people both in and out of the workplace thrive through travel with her travel coaching workshops and different wellness programs. Now, if you know my story, you know that I spent 6 months abroad in Australia, and Joey and I love to travel the world, and I strongly believe that everybody should travel. So this episode is for you, whether you love to travel as well, maybe you've got some fears around traveling, maybe you feel like money is a barrier, like you just don't have enough funds from a financial standpoint to travel the world. But Sahara is going to give us some really great tips and insight to hopefully inspire you to book that next trip. All right, on to the show. Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about their relationship with food, exercise, and their bodies. I am on a mission to help you redefine the word fit, to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fears. Hello, Sahara. Thank you for being on Fit Friends Happy Hour today. We are so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So tell us just a little bit about, you know, who you are and what it is that you currently do.
Yeah, so I'm a world traveler. The past decade, I've traveled to over 84 countries, fell in love with travel, obviously. I studied hospitality and tourism management, but I knew there was more to the travel industry. So within those 10 years of traveling, I really did soul searching and also research on the industry to figure out what kind of impact I want to make and also what my ideal career path was that aligned with what I believed in so deeply about travel and what I also knew aligned with other travelers that I met. So I turned all of it into a travel coaching business, which is a fairly new niche in the industry, but it's really exciting. It's an exciting time in the travel industry with the trends that are going on and the rise in social media and everything. So, and of course, travel is such an important part to everyone's life in a unique way and in different ways. So now that I have a travel coaching business where I also help other travelers find their own voice and impact in the industry, but also have integrated into the corporate space to help business travelers and employees in the workplace really utilize travel in a way that helps them thrive in their find their own balance in work life. So it helps them become, you know, better in their home life and also really a lot more productive and happy in their company culture as well.
So many thoughts. First of all, I'm just so excited to talk to you today because my life, I believe, has truly been impacted by travel. For me, it wasn't until I was in college that I traveled, you know, internationally, but I just have this bug and this itch to see the world. And so I wanted to have you on the podcast today specifically to, you know, maybe there's someone listening who hasn't found that, or, you know, we're going to talk through kind of some of the barriers to travel, you know, at a young age. And like you said, I mean, it changed your life. And I love that you have turned that passion that you found, that so many people see that as a luxury, right? Like traveling is just, it's something for fun. It's vacation. Right. And you've kind of matched, you know, your purpose with your passion and you're spreading that. So tell us how you got into travel. Like where was the first place for you that was kind of this big trip or this moment?
Yeah, so a little bit about my background. I grew up as an only child with a single mom. So we lived in a very middle-class family. You know, there were times that we did struggle to, you know, even buy a jar of that peanut butter jelly mix that we have. So we didn't have very much. So I had these big dreams of seeing like what else was out in the world through the movies I saw and the magazines I saw and photos. And I'm a very visual person. I'm also a nature person. So I remember seeing these tropical leaves in Costa Rica and these exotic birds and I'm a big animal person, seeing like elephants out in the safari in Africa. So I knew that the world embodied so much more out there, but coming from my background and my circumstances, I had no idea how I was able to go to any of these places. So my third year of university, I enrolled in a tourism program that was offered and graduated with a degree in hospitality and tourism, but that was over 10 years ago. So the industry was a lot different then than it is now, which it's still evolving. But at that time when I graduated, I was still feeling lost. I had studied something I was passionate about and I was inspired to go into the world, but the industry wasn't offering any jobs that really resonated with myself. I wanted to see the world on my own terms. So I knew that I didn't want to climb the corporate ladder and go the route that was expected, society or my mom or anyone expected us me to take. So I decided to do the opposite and I packed a bag and I bought my first ticket, which was to Dublin, Ireland, because I was going to go to Western Europe. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I was going alone. I never traveled anywhere outside of, a couple family trips down to Mexico to visit my grandma's side of the family when I was young, and up to Canada that I don't remember to visit my grandpa's family when I was young. So I really hadn't traveled very much. And I took one vacation in high school with my mom and her husband at the time, and it was an all-inclusive resort. So I was in Dominican Republic. So I was very sheltered then as well. So it was the summer after I graduated university that my adventures began. And I don't remember getting on the plane, but I remember the feeling of getting off of the plane in Dublin and feeling like, wow, I am in another part of the world. I'm in another country. And yeah, I was very ill prepared at the time. I'm not much of a planner. So I remember there was during those about 2 months that I was on that trip, there was a lot of really high highs and low lows of, that time also was before, social media and also the websites, and that makes it a lot easier for people to book accommodations or book something under their budget or connect with people to stay with or whatnot.
Airbnb didn't even really exist then.
No, even like apps, the stuff. I had a flip phone. My first trip was a flip phone. That's the example of what I was dealing with. So my phone didn't even turn on to use it as a clock. I was asking people in other languages, trying to figure out what time it was. And so I couldn't book things ahead. So I remember going into places trying to find an accommodation for the night, and they were booked because it was maybe a holiday and I didn't prepare ahead of time. Or that happened a couple times. I remember in Madrid that happened to me. It was raining out. So I remember crying a few times. I met some nice people on the streets who let me sleep in their like attic in Paris one night. Even though that time, that trip was, there were times that, I wish I didn't have, things were hard, but I don't take it back because those experiences shaped me and taught me and made me stronger. I was a lot more, helped me become a better problem solver and a lot more resourceful, a lot more resilient as well. So I was so blessed that I did begin my journeys during what I call this prime phase in the travel industry, where I didn't have all those resources and tools and everything that travelers have now, because I honestly believe that it is what led me to my career path now, because it gave me both sides of the equation. I got to see what it was like, what was used, what was needed, what was necessary, what was popular, and really diving deep into the experiences that a traveler really can endure versus always having the ease and simplicity and resources at your fingertips all the time, which can become a detriment. Technology is great, but it also, when it comes to traveling, it can take away that innate desire for human connection, especially in a world where hospitality and, people are the foundation of the travel industry. So I was able to experience all these, what I call travel angels throughout my journeys, who helped me in different ways, like sleeping in the attic in a girl's house in Paris. Obviously that probably wouldn't happen today, but it brought these people into my life and these memories that I created that stay with me and really shape who I am and my perspective on the world today.
I love that. So I want to come back and talk about that technology piece, but let's rewind a little bit, because talking about just where you came from, I so relate to that. You know, I was one of six kids, but same thing. I mean, my parents were always working. The furthest vacation we took was, you know, a road trip maybe to Chicago or, you know, whatever you could pack in a car. I think one time we went to Niagara Falls, but like, we didn't really go on vacations, you know, like you said. And like you mentioned, even the vacations that we did take, it was very sheltered, not really experiencing the world. So how did you go from this, okay, I know this is what's out there, this is what I see in movies, I've maybe been on these few sheltered trips, to I'm buying a, I don't know how long your ticket was, to Europe? And were you scared? Were you more excited? Like, what got you to pull the trigger? And I imagine too, in that moment of, you know, post-university, everybody's out getting jobs, going to make money. Like, what was that like?
Yeah. And it's funny that you bring that up, because I remember my best friend in high school at the time, that was always a part of our, throughout high school, part of our plan was to, you know, take a few years off. I'm sure a lot of kids think this these days, is I'm going to take a few years before college or off of college and go travel the world. And so we were like, we're always going to go to Europe. So obviously things change, go through college and graduation. So we kind of lost contact, but therefore I didn't have someone that I initially planned to do this with. But I think part of me being an only child, I've always been very on my own and not afraid to do things on my own. So that didn't worry me that I was by myself. I've always been used to being by myself. And as for being scared, it's a very sensible question. It's a very common question, but for some reason, the world doesn't scare me. It's very easy to get all these ideas and your perspective molded by what the media puts out there or what others have to say. But like everything in your life, you have to take things from your own perspective and your own risk to kind of figure out what is truthful to yourself and what applies to yourself and not. So although, yes, of course, my mom was worried for me and a lot of people were worried. I mean, even to this day, I've traveled to 84 countries before. So like, be careful. Am I like same people forever? And, you know, and of course I love that people care about me, but I just wish that people didn't fear the world, because it really is such a beautiful place. And honestly, anything can happen anywhere. I lived in Chicago for many years. I got work in the restaurant industry for long late nights till 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And, you know, things can happen to me coming home in transit at that time, just as much as it can in a foreign country. Mm-hmm. So I was never fearful for my safety. And I've always been someone who has been very intuitive with my own self and my own gut and listen to my own heart. It's what put me on this journey in the first place to, you know, create my own path in life. So I always just kind of tuned into that and counted on that. And I always say I would just listen to the universe, even though that can sound silly, just guiding me along the way and giving me this feeling of whether that I was going to be okay and whether things were not going to be okay, and listening to your gut, which I think a lot as women as well, we don't often do. Like, we hear it, but we don't always take action. And I think putting yourself into circumstances like in a brand new environment in a foreign country, you really do have to tune into all the resources you do have as a human being, especially as a woman. And I just counted on all of that. And like I said, how we didn't have all the resources and technology and tools where one second you can call someone for help these days, I had to turn to other types of resources, more internal resources. So I was never afraid to be able to go out there, because I knew that it was something I wanted. And if I ever let my fear hold me back, it's cliche to say you don't want regrets and you don't want to know the what ifs, or questioning with the what ifs. So in order to avoid that, you have to just go for it sometimes. And, you know, if it didn't work out and I was overwhelmed and I didn't like it and I was unhappy, then I can always go home and try something else in life. So that's kind of where, you know, I was never really afraid to do it.
I love that you say kind of trusting your intuition, and it sounds woo-woo, but I have been so into that lately of just trusting the universe. And I feel personally that I too have been just, we read what we see in the media, and it's easy to get scared. It's easy to see the negative, and some people may see this as naive, but I love that you bring this up because, you know, you talk about travel angels. I believe in just seeing the good in the world, and yes, there's bad people out there, but there's also a lot of good people, right? And you talk about these travel angels. I'll never forget when I was in Australia, I felt like I have a lot of these same, you just meet people and just, yeah. If you take a step back, some people say, oh, that sounds reckless. And, you know, how would you do that? But it's added to these experiences that you otherwise never would have had. And somebody told me once when I was traveling, it was, there's no such thing as strangers. You're just friends we haven't yet met. And
right.
I love that, like leaning into your intuition. So talking about, you know, fear, what do you feel like, or maybe through your experience, are things that hold people back from seeing the world? Like maybe they have this desire, they're in that those same shoes that you've been in, but what holds them back?
Yeah, so that's actually a couple of the common things that I've heard or that are very real are finances. Money is always something people refer to, you know, going alone, and of course, safety. So those are some of the bigger things, especially being active in Facebook group, travel Facebook groups and stuff that I always see people saying, well, I had something planned with my, you know, partner or a friend and it fell through. I don't know what to do now. I'm afraid to go, or, you know, should I just cancel it all? And I think too much we rely on other people to help us fulfill ourselves or our dreams, and we don't take enough ownership and control over that. So you should, in my beliefs, you should never put your dreams in the hands of someone else. Because you don't
know. So good. So good.
You don't know, you know, their circumstances. You don't know what goes on. People can change their mind at any minute. People can back out at any minute. Anything can happen. Emergency can happen. So if you want something bad enough, you have to take complete ownership of that and say to yourself, if it doesn't go through, and I really would want to go with someone, if it doesn't go through, what am I going to do? Do I have it in me to continue this, or do I not want it bad enough? Because honestly, sometimes I always say not everyone's a good traveler, and not because.
In what way?
Because what I mean is, just because you're best friends with someone doesn't mean that you guys are great travelers together. Everyone being put in new circumstances and environments and problems and you know, decisions to be made and budgets to be had and things to eat, every single component that you experience traveling is very unique, and everyone reacts in a different way. Everyone's different under pressure, under stress, when they're tired. And these are all things that travel's going to introduce and face you with, you know, like
yes.
Things are not always peachy keen and rainbows and sunshine and stuff. When you travel, as great as travel is, it's the reality of it. So that's why, just because you have someone that you want to maybe travel with and things will go through, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. Maybe your journey was not meant to go, was to go alone versus with someone else, because you will have those transformative experiences or these revelations during your journey and just, or experience in general in your journey as you were alone, than if you did go with someone else. Something I noticed when I travel is that a lot of times people who do travel as couples or in a group of people tend to be a lot more closed off to the others around them. Because as a solo traveler, I'm a lot open, and other travelers are a lot open to talking to someone who's in their accommodation or on the bus next to them. But if you're with a group of people, you tend to just stick to yourself. You always have someone to talk to. You have someone to lean on. You have someone to ask questions and figure things out with. But when you're by yourself, you really, unless you do this all by yourself, you have to have other people to ask questions. You have to reach out to other people. And it really just builds your experience and gives you a new perspective on your journey than you wouldn't otherwise have. So being able to just take ownership and just, you know, go out there and live your own dreams, and traveling is something that people should really prioritize versus whether someone else is going to go with them or not.
Yeah, it forces you to, I think, get outside your comfort zone. And literally be present in the culture and communicate with others. Oh, that's so true. And I've never really thought about it from that perspective, but I was thinking about this recently. I was starting to plan, okay, where do I want to go as far as like business development or conferences this year? And my best friend is having a baby and she's normally my go-to person. And I thought, oh, I could invite so-and-so. But then I held back and I thought, maybe I should go by myself for this exact reason. It forces you to step outside your shell and meet new people. And just by being yourself alone, you have to open up. So I love that. So you talk about kind of these experiences and how, you know, travel has really changed you. In what ways do you feel like was there one certain trip where you had a moment that was just like you had an epiphany, or was it kind of a compilation of events? Tell us, like, what are some of the major ways that traveling has changed your life and you as an individual?
Yeah, I always say that traveling is my greatest professor. I honestly don't know who I would be if I didn't have this path in life, if travel wasn't such a big piece of my life. Because I have spent so much time traveling, it really has molded all my beliefs, all of my understandings, my character, because it taught me what matters most to me in life. It opened my eyes to other ways of life and other just human beings. And sometimes we can be very into our own belief systems and ideas when we're not exposed to anything else or what we're being told that others might think or believe in. I always believe that if people just traveled more, the world would really be a better place, because there wouldn't be as much judgments or stereotypes, or, you know, people wouldn't put people into a box if you really got to understand why they believe what they believe in, and even if you don't understand it, you don't have to. You just accept that there's other ways of thinking and other beliefs in this world and other ways of living.
I feel like we're talking about internationally, but even in the US, like even just in your own state to state cross, like there's so many differences that we don't even see on the small spectrum. So are there any major countries in particular that were just, you know, blew you away as far as your expectations and shifted you more than you thought it would have going in?
Yeah, there's a couple countries that really did stand out for me for good reasons and for not so good reasons. I am always drawn to countries that are underdeveloped or developing, that I like to be as far out of my comfort zone as I can be. That really is what an experience to me is. I'm not a big city type of person and skyscrapers and stuff, even though there are a lot of great cities like that. So I have traveled to a lot of parts, almost all of Asia and, you know, South America and stuff, and being able to experience places that make me feel something. And sometimes it's not always a good thing, but it makes me understand myself. So for instance, I kind of have, when I was in India, it was very rough for me. And there's a lot of people that absolutely have fantastic experiences there. But because I come from I've always had a issue with anxiety, which can seem kind of odd being someone who puts myself out of my comfort zone all the time. I think I would
like,
say,
I thrive on that. What do you mean?
It's honestly like I'm a walking contradiction of myself. I really am. But I've always struggled with anxiety. So a place like Mumbai and Delhi and India in general, where there's just a lot of people, and I always say it's like a sensory overload. There's just a lot going on. So with someone who has internal struggles with like anxiety, that can be a lot and a lot to control for yourself. So that was a rough experience for myself, but it pushed me so far with my anxiety that I had to develop better coping mechanisms if I was going to continue to travel in the way that I wanted to travel. But it also taught me the places I enjoy being in and wanted to spend more time in. But I wouldn't have understood that if I didn't go there. But being able to be there and really seeing the way of life and really understanding why countries are like that, you know, gave me a deeper respect for it. And although it gave me anxiety or made me feel something I was not comfortable with, that's on me to use that knowledge as a way to mold my own journey. But then there's also places that I always had a calling to go to Israel. And actually, I was just there. I finally made it to Israel, and I just came back a few months ago. And that was always a place that I always wanted to go to and didn't have any expectations. But of course, never molded in my ideas, but that's something that I wish that a lot of people, especially from the US, would go and experience, is a lot more Middle Eastern countries, because it's easy to put a lot of people from the Middle East into a box, especially of what's going on in the world today. And I'm by no means a political person. I'm a person who understands humanity. So I think that if we experience more connection and interaction from individuals from countries that people tend to put into a box, that's why I said I think the world would be a better place and a nicer place if we just really had these individual understanding of each other. So my time in Israel really surpassed what I thought I would. And it really was a spiritual journey, and not only just a spiritual journey, but it was just such a destination that really called to me and in a way that fulfilled all these different things within me that I didn't know I had voids for, as for the connections that I made. And it was really Tel Aviv that I fell in love with, and it is a city. And so just being a city itself, I didn't think I would be too interested in staying there too long, and really I didn't want to leave, and I can't wait to go back soon. So being able to experience a place like Israel, where something draws me so much to it, and then also experience a place like India or Sri Lanka was also another place that was pretty rough for me, and just seeing how what that taught me versus a place what Israel taught me. It just really what traveling is about to be, really to put yourself into environments that teach you something that helps you have the lifestyle and the life and the person that you want to be in your own way. And really just sharing the understanding and love for the diversity in the world too.
Yeah, humanity and just connection, that's huge. What specifically, I'm curious, in India and Sri Lanka, just to kind of give listeners kind of a deeper understanding, what were some of the things that you mentioned, the amount of people, but what were some of those things that triggered that anxiety for you, and how did you cope with that while you were there? Because I know that's a big thing for a lot of people, right? It would be easy to just shut down and say, okay, well, I'm here, I'm not going to go out, I'm going to go to this one restaurant, right? And how did you work through that?
Yeah, so I something that I see commonly talked about in a lot of online forums in travel groups, like Facebook and stuff, are girls asking if others experience something similar as to the attention that they get from men, or, you know, how they might feel uncomfortable in the destination. So it's really more so about that cause a lot of anxiety, because there are so many people. And because, I mean, granted, when we go to another place, we are foreigners. We're foreigners to them. So we're going to look different. We're going to draw attention to ourselves in some way. I'm 6 feet tall, and, you know, I look like I'm from all over the world. So I get a lot of attention drawn to me. So anywhere I go, pretty much. So going to a place where there's so many people, and it was just the amount of tension that I would get. But also, it's a cultural thing too. Whereas in the US, we have boundaries with our, you know, personal space.
In our a lot bubble.
Of, yeah, in some countries, they don't have that. It's not part of their lifestyle and their culture. So also being in a place where there really are no boundaries for your personal space was really overwhelming to me as well. So you put yourself in a place where there's a lot of people and there's no boundaries on yourself, your space. So whether you're sitting somewhere or you're standing somewhere and there's just a lot of people and they might be touching or alongside you or whatnot. So it really is just a mixture of things. Also, there's just a lot of noises, a lot of, you know, that's why I say it was a sensory overload. It really exercises and puts all your senses to the test, whether they're the smells, whether it's like in, I know Delhi deals a lot with pollution, so it could be a lot of fog in the air. So I have really sensitive eyes. I have very sensitive hearing. So to hear a lot of the hustling and bustling and the noises of the street and the traffic, it's like going to New York City and standing in traffic. Like there's a lot of noises. So it was just a combination of a lot of the stuff. And for me, just as personally for me, it was a learning lesson for myself. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that stuff doesn't bother other people. You know, that's why I've made so many people absolutely love their experience there. I also was alone there, so that could play a factor as well. A lot of people go with someone, or they go to a yoga retreat, or have something that's a lot more structured. So that's another factor that really influenced my overall experience. But I did meet about 2 months prior a really lovely couple who lived in Bangalore, India, which is South Central, very rising tech city. So I ended up staying with them and visiting them in Bangalore. So that was really nice to be able to, you know, see it from their perspective and their lifestyle too. So I was able to put down some of my walls that I did have up and feel a little bit more comfortable. Bangalore is also not as crazy as like Delhi would be, or Mumbai is busy. So just being able to go to parts of India, India is a massive country. There's so many parts and so many beautiful parts too, like Goa and the beaches and whatnot. So it's very diverse everywhere. But I learned so much about the country that I didn't otherwise know, that, you know, they have hundreds of dialects within India that I had no idea. So even though it was an overwhelming experience for me, it was really a big teaching moment for myself, not only, you know, about the country, but also about myself as well.
Well, you have such great perspective. You know, I love how you reflect on that maybe not so positive experience, but spin it into a positive experience, because I agree. It's just, you can't really mess it up when it comes to it, because each experience is a, like you said, a teaching opportunity, a learning opportunity. What can you learn about yourself that you didn't know before? So let's kind of talk about, what was the point where you're traveling, you're racking up your list of countries that you've been to, you're feeling this like, ah, this is awesome. I love this. I want more of this. How did you then pivot, or maybe there wasn't so much of a pivot, where you decided that you were going to create a career around this passion?
Yeah, that took time. So even about 5 years into my journey, I'm going to be 32 this month. So when I was about 20,
happy early birthday.
Thank you. So when I was about 28, 29, I gave myself this, I gave myself this cushion of 30. I said, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to figure out what I want to do, whether that's where I want to work, who I want to work for, or if I want to start my own business. I had no idea. So I always just enjoyed my journey in the meantime. So 30 came about. And
I'm 30. Now what? Shoot.
I know, right? Here. It's a deciding factor for you. So I took initiative to really put my desires into motion. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I still had no idea, but I did know that throughout all these years, I was learning, I was studying, I was researching, I was interacting with people. Not only did I have a degree in hospitality and tourism, which is more so like, I feel like I knew old school travel industry, that I also now knew hands-on about the travel industry in a unique way that the overall travel industry didn't know, the big brands didn't know. Mm-hmm. As individual travelers, we see and we experience things in a unique way. That's why we're drawn to travel, and we have a unique understanding, but we don't know what to do with that all the time. We don't know how to, we know we love talking about travel. We know we love sharing advice about travel. That's why there's travel bloggers. That's why there's people, you know, giving travel advice, and there's travel agents, you know, booking trips. So I did figure it out with myself what I liked to do and what I didn't like to do. Honestly, I didn't want to be a travel agent because I don't like itineraries. Because I have anxiety, I don't like the responsibility of someone else's booking, yes, maybe going wrong. I didn't enjoy it. I did it for my mom and her friends. I booked many trips, planned it all, don't like it. So I knew I didn't want to do that. I knew I didn't want to be just a travel blogger, even though I had a blog. I, of course, just did it for free to share my journey and my experiences and my tips and everything. But I didn't want to struggle to make money and change my perspective if I wanted to make money writing for a publication. I wanted to keep my authentic voice and perspective, and I didn't want to have to worry about having enough money to continue the lifestyle that I wanted. So, you know, there's freelancers and all these different jobs, the influencers, the social media, the affiliate marketing, all these different things people were doing. I was learning all about them, mm-hmm, but nothing resonated with me. So I started studying how to start a business in general and looked up what people are doing and, you know, even the beginning stages of starting a business. And I saw that the coaching industry is on the rise. There's so many different coaches out there. And I wasn't aware of this because I never looked it up. I never had to look for a coach before. Finances, health, everything, all these types of coaches. So to me, it made sense to be a travel coach. I said, why not? You know, it's what I love to do. So I love helping people. What that meant, I had no idea at the time.
You're like, I don't know what that is, but that sounds pretty good. Let's go with it. If you don't mind me asking, how were you supporting yourself through, you know, between your 20s and 30s? Or were you feeling pushback? Because I know I had friends in your similar situation who right out of school, they traveled. And I was almost so envious of that because I thought, gosh, I wish I didn't have this pressure or feel, and maybe it's just the United States of, I've got to get a regular job. I've got to start, you know, paying off debt. And how did you navigate that through prior to starting this?
Yeah, that's a great question because that is something that holds a lot of people back from traveling as well. I never really cared what people thought or what was what society
the norm,
expected. Yeah, I actually always went the other way. Someone in school, if something was cool in school, a trend, I made sure I didn't buy it. You know, I don't know. It was just never in me to have to fit in. So I didn't care what society thought for my own life. It's my life to live. Everyone has their own life to live. So when I graduated from school, I could have taken the normal route and I could have worked for a company that paid me to travel for business, which all these birdies were telling me to do, but I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to travel and be limited by my experiences because it was for business and not for the journey itself. Mm-hmm. So honestly, I worked my butt off in college. I shifted my mindset about my third year of university. I was broke. I was so broke. I had no money. I was living in Chicago. My rent was like $1,000 a month. I was asking my mom for money for some food. Can I use your credit cards? And, you know, and
how many 20 something year olds can relate? I'm sure there's 30 somethings who can relate to that, right?
I know. So, you know, it was rough, but I knew I was going to have to make a change. So in Chicago, you can work in restaurants when you're 21. I was only 20 when I moved there. So
I didn't know that. I didn't know there was an age limit. Interesting.
Right. Because I worked in restaurants when I lived in Arizona for 2 years prior. I went to Arizona State for my freshman and sophomore year of university. And I worked in restaurants there and as well as restaurants in Wisconsin where I'm from. So yeah, I didn't know that. I spent so much time applying until one restaurant finally told me, come back when you're 21. So
you're like, no wonder nobody's been calling me.
I know, right? So I had to think, how else can I make money? In Chicago, there's tons of opportunities. I mean, there are tons of opportunities in general in life. So I put myself out there with any job I could get, and filled my time as much as I could outside of school to be able to make money. And that was either selling refurnished furniture I found in our recycling room in my apartment building, selling it online, dragging it up to my apartment, fixing it up and selling it online for $25, whether it was selling my art because I like to paint, babysitting because I love kids, walking dogs because I love dogs, you know, everything. I worked for temp agencies, but I always did stuff I loved. That's the thing. Mm. I did everything I loved. When I moved to Chicago, I wanted to be engulfed in the opportunities. What opportunities? I didn't know. But I knew there was so much going on in the city with conventions and events and hotels and businesses. I wanted to get into as much as I could to figure out what I was passionate about. So I worked for temp agencies. It was super fun. I got to work at conventions and go to things like Coffee Fest and walk around and collect all the goodies afterwards and, you know, did all these things. And more opportunities came with that. So then I turned 21 and I finally got into some restaurants and found a very lucrative restaurant I was at for on and off for 5 years. On and off, I say, because I was traveling and then came back. And then worked at a couple others after that one closed. So I just changed how I made and managed my money. So I limited my expenses as much as I could other than what I had to pay for and really was a lot more frugal on my spending. Like even to this day, 90% of my clothes are like $20 or less from the thrift stores or Plato's Closet, which I love. And, you know, when I shop with coupons all the time at grocery stores, and then I just filled the rest of my time with making money. How else can I make money? And I became obsessed with my bank account. it's a simple equation. You need to make more money than you spend in order to have right. savings.
Simple, not easy.
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of my friends I did work with in Chicago who had great jobs just like I did were always broke too. So as I was saving all this money, it became easier and easier. And it's, you know, I was finding different ways. Like I had a bank account that at that time, you know, matched it, matched my, you know, earnings or savings or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I was finding all these different ways that I could put more money into my bank account. So when I graduated university, little did I know, I had, you know, money saved up. And that honestly, living off my savings and traveling off my savings is why I've been able to travel as much as I have. But I always came back. I never ever ran out of money. I never let myself go broke. I never wanted to be in that position because I also didn't want my mom to never also have someone to help her if she ever need help also. Because someone like myself who doesn't have a dad, I don't have anyone else to turn to if I need financial help. So I wanted to always make sure I was always okay, as well as if my mom ever needed anything. So I always looked at my bank account when I was traveling and gave myself a rough budget. So when I started getting close, I, you know, I had to make some decisions. Do I want to go home and work? Do I, you know, what should I do? I've actually never worked while traveling ever. I've never did any jobs while traveling. I would come back. I moved to Chicago 3 times, I think, because I knew that was an easy way for me to find jobs, whether it was the same job again, which most likely it wasn't if you quit a job, but I knew there were so many other opportunities. So I would always go back and make money and save. So that savings, it was my saving grace for my travels as well as for financing my own business now.
That's amazing. Part of me was like, oh no, what if she says that she just inherited a ton of money and la, la, la. Like, no, you had a goal. You had a goal and you worked your freaking ass off to get there. Like, that is amazing. And I love to hear that because it just goes to show if there's something that your heart desires that you just feel it in you that you need to do, there's a way, right? And you can make it happen. And I love too that you put even more purpose behind it, right? Like you were doing these odd jobs, but odd jobs that mattered. Mm-hmm. And I love to hear that. So you started your own business. So around that, right, and what you do, what are some of the opportunities around travel and as far as like starting a career? You mentioned some people work while they're abroad. What does that look like for people?
Yeah, so there's a wide basket of things that people can do while traveling. So even though I didn't do a lot of them, there are a lot of things. There's a lot of people turn to online. So there's a lot of freelance work you can do. It really just depends on what your interest is, what you're good at, what you want to do. And you can find online work doing that in any sense. As for travel coaching itself, because it is a fairly new niche, and I started my business a little over a year and a half ago. And even though at that time, I didn't have anyone I could turn to help me become a travel coach or tell me about how to start a business or whatnot, again, didn't scare me. I actually jumped on the opportunity and I started what's called the Travel Coach Network because I knew that if I wanted to use my personal travel experiences to create a career path that aligned with myself and made me happy, I knew that there were also other travelers out there who wanted to do something similar. So there's just so much opportunity when it comes to travel, which is why I'm part of why I'm so excited of why I created my business and what I do in this new area in the industry, because I want to just inspire other people to know that there's so much room for growth and your experiences matter. Your perspective matters. What you know and love most about travel matters. Something that really inspired me to even start become a travel coach and to start the Travel Coach Network was because, like I said, I was blogging for a while and actually turned one of my most popular blog posts into a book because I realized that I tracked analytics and realized what people were reading most. So I had a lot of stuff to say about travel, you know, traveling and budget and what I knew about it and whatnot. But there was also a lot of people coming to me from different backgrounds and different perspectives that didn't resonate with me or I didn't have the answers for. For instance, there were maybe moms that traveled with their kids or wanted to travel with kids, or there was a couple that was traveling, or, you know, someone who was looking to travel after retirement, or maybe it was someone of a certain race or religion that I couldn't relate to. I didn't have those answers, but I knew there are so many travelers out there who did have answers. Mm. So I wanted to be able to not only start my own travel coaching business, I wanted to be able to help others connect that bridge between the experts and the people and the dreamers, the people who wanted to travel. So that's essentially where I started the Travel Coach Network with my program. But me, myself, I am into the more of the travel wellness space. And that is so, so exciting to me because I study a lot of business travel and also corporate wellness and find the voids and the problems that exist, just like I did with travel coaching and a job in travel in general. Mm-hmm. And there's so much room for growth in the industry that they're actually, it's calling for disruption. And that's something I also want to inspire other people, like find what matters to you in the travel industry and make a difference with it, even if no one else is doing it. And that's the exciting part. Even if no one else is doing it, go for it, because I promise you, you can make it happen if you believe enough in yourself and in your messaging. And so I just use the, I believe so deeply, as a lot of other passionate travelers do, in the power that travel has on the mind, body, and the soul. And that the importance of deeper human connection and really understanding the traveler and what travel was doing for people. And that's where I take my framework I created and put that into corporate wellness and for business travelers, because there's such an epidemic when it comes, as you know, in the health industry, there's such an epidemic with burnout in the workplace. And
amen.
And statistics show that actually in the US, half of Americans don't use all or most of their vacation days, or they don't use it properly, meaning actually to go on vacation. And then in the business travel, there's such a burnout with road warriors, they're called constant business travelers. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to apply my understanding and belief of travel and how it can actually help you thrive. And I back that with years of research that exists that no one is using yet.
I love that. I love that you're connecting all these different dots. It's like you're taking all these amazing experiences that you've had over the years. You weren't really sure what you were going to do with it, but you didn't let that fear, like you said, hold you back, and you just created this. And you can hear it in your voice. You can hear the energy and the excitement that you have. And that's just amazing. So let's say somebody does have, you know, we talked a lot about barriers to travel and to, you know, making this happen. And we touched on it a little bit, but let's say someone works a, you know, 9-to-5, they've got limited PTO that they've maybe haven't used the wisest or whatever. They've got all these different excuses or reasons why they can't travel. Mm-hmm. How can and should, I don't even think that's an option now after listening to this, right? Like, how should they take steps to start traveling more in their life?
Yeah. So I always say, first and foremost, like, not everyone has to be obsessed with travel. Not everyone has to travel to 84 countries like I have. Not everyone has to go and, you know, backpack the world. I understand it's a very unique person who does stuff like that. But as human beings, we have an innate desire to travel. We've always traveled. We've migrated places. So that's one of the reasons why we turn to travel, whether we acknowledge it or not, for so many parts of our life. And that could be, think of, you know, I want your listeners to think, what are the times that you were drawn to get away? What really caused you to do that? Did you have a heartbreak? Were you going through a breakup, a divorce? Someone passed away in your family or a loved one? You know, were you really so stressed with work and you're so frustrated that you are not, you know, passionate about what you do? You know, is there something missing in your life that you know, there, people go and find themselves in journeys. So the reason I'm saying this is because even I understand everyone has, you know, families and different structures of their life. Not everyone wants to travel so much, but there's always times that we turn to travel. People want a vacation at some point, maybe it's even once a year. So some of the things that people can do if you're limited on time and budget, really, if you're working for a company, ask them, what is your travel policy? What are you offering? Because that's one of the problems in the corporate space right now, is that there are travel policies, but they're sitting on the shelf. And if you don't ask, they're not going to tell you. So because they want you to work. And even though they want you to be happy and healthy, they want productivity and they want you to work.
Right.
Studies show that actually travel can help boost your productivity. But ask them, what kind of opportunities do you offer? You know, what does my PTO look like? What are my vacation days look like? What kind of resources do you offer for planning? Do you have a financial expert who can help me budget? Do you have a travel coach who can help me plan and budget? Do you have, are there volunteer abroad opportunities that you offer once a year for your employees? Are there sabbaticals, or, you know, are there business opportunities that I can have where I can extend a day or two for leisure? There's opportunities there, but people don't ask. And that's one of the problems, and why I was so passionate to get into corporate wellness, was because people are scared of being fired, or how vacation might make them look, or wanting to get away and take a break from themselves might, you know, jeopardize their promotion, or, you know, be fired or replaced. These are studies that
show is so
this.
Backwards, so backwards.
I know. And that it's a problem in company culture and management structure. But go and ask. Ask your employer what travel policy looks like. So if you do have PTO and you do have some available days, plan far enough in advance. That's another reason people end up not taking their vacation days or just stay home, is that they didn't give themselves enough time to plan. And not saying you have to completely plan the entire thing, but request time off far enough in advance. People request time throughout the year for weddings, birthdays, holidays, but they don't always request time off for their vacations. You have to respect management, and you have to know that they need enough time to validate your time off so that they can make sure the workplace is covered. Mm-hmm. So being able to put yourself in the books and also giving yourself a date gives you that excitement, something to look forward to too. Research actually shows that even traveling, the planning of travel, boosts your happiness hormones and your endorphins.
Yes.
So it's, why not elongate that?
We're planning our honeymoon right now. We're planning to go to Hawaii, but not just like go to a resort, like you said, like live, but just, yes, the plan. We haven't even booked anything yet, but I get so excited just thinking about it and talking about it, right? And that alone just kind of boosts your spirits in your day to day.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's why, like, research shows that a trip doesn't have to be that time that you're actually traveling. It can be extended before, and also long lasting effect if you do it properly. So planning is a big part of that too. And also being involved in your travels. So that kind of ties into both finances and also your personal enjoyment. So being involved in your travels means that you're not always putting it over in the hands of maybe a travel agent who might be costly. And if you are on a tighter budget, that might not be suitable, which can cause more stress. It could make you feel like your whole trip, you're just thinking about how much overtime you have to do because you just spent a lot of money. And also there could be problems that happen that, you know, because you weren't fully involved in your planning. Mm-hmm. So taking back some of that power in your travels can really make a difference and also get you looking forward to it as well. So then as for the budget part, put money throughout the year aside, a little bit aside, or have something that you do that is a pastime of yours that generates some extra money. Maybe you sell goods or crafts or something online, or toy around with a different passion of yours, and use that money dedicated towards your travels. Or have it a family thing and say, hey, if you're going to give me birthday gifts or holiday gifts, like, I would prefer money because I'm going on this trip. You know, look at these different ways that you can generate income in a way that is authentic and genuine and feels right for you. Get your kids involved. Maybe let them have a lemonade stand to, you know, make $20 to put into the account because they're excited about traveling. Make a vision board so you don't forget and don't put it to the wayside. That, you know, a lot of times we put travel is such a primary tool for self-care, and we often put that on the back burner. And we put things like gym memberships and, you know, healthy meals or all these different other things in the forefront, yoga classes, which are important and great, but at the same time, so is travel. And that's why every year people always make these New Year resolutions. I'm going to travel. I'm going to go somewhere. And then they end up not doing it, or not doing it to the extent that they want, even though it's still in them. So there's different ways that you can suit a trip based on your own budget and time frame. Maybe it doesn't mean going abroad, like you said. Take a road trip somewhere, make something more meaningful. So there's different ways that you can go out, get away, and you can decompress and you can enjoy what travel brings to you and receive the benefits, the wellness benefits that it can provide. But you have to be mindful and you have to take initiative and action, actually do it.
Yeah. So planning and then action, like you said, just pull the trigger. I love that. Well, it has been so much fun talking with you today. I'm like fired up and ready to go just browse the internet and book something now, because it's like you said, there's just so much experience to be had, so much of the world to be seen, that we'd be doing a disservice to ourselves not to experience that. So I always love to leave our listeners and ask this question. What is the best thing that's happened to you this week?
This week? Well, it's only, what, Tuesday?
Only Tuesday.
I would definitely have to say that, well, I just got an email from an editor that actually ties quite into this, that I will be in the U.S. News and World Report on saving money to travel. So that's
how exciting. How exciting. Yeah. I love that. Well, so what is the best way for our listeners to find you if they want to find you on social media or your website, or maybe reach out as a source for their employer?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's, I go under two things. So Sahara Rose Travels, and they're also the Travel Coach Network. So you can find me on both of those on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Twitter, but also my website, the Travel Coach Network. So Sahara Rose Travels or the Travel Coach Network. You can find me on social media and also on my website.
Awesome. Well, we will be sure to put those links in the show note. And again, thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Of course. Bye. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.